Scripture this morning from the Old Testament book of 2 Samuel, chapter 14, verses 28 to 30. So Absalom lived 2 full years in Jerusalem without coming into the king's presence. So Absalom sent for Joab and sent him to the king, But Joab would not come to him. And he sent a second time, but Joab would not come. Then he said to his servants, "See, Joab's field is next to mine, and he has barley there. Go and set it on fire." So Absalom's servants set the field on fire. This is the word of God for the people of God. So just how do you get somebody's attention? Down through the years, I've heard people say, "Well, if I want their attention, I'll just get a 2x4 and whack them upside the head. That'll get their attention." Or how does somebody get your attention? Now, sometimes it's not a person. Sometimes it's an item. I'm going to share with you a true story. I've told this story many times, and people say, "Ed, you're making that up." I can't make up stuff like this. Some years ago, our youngest son was in town for a long weekend. And he said, "Dad, let's go down to the Brighton hot dog shop and get a couple of hot dogs." I said, "Okay." So away we went. And when we finished the hot dogs, we were just leaving, and it started to rain pretty heavy. So we didn't have an umbrella. So we left the hot dog shop, and in order to keep a little bit dry, we kind of scurried along the sides of the building as we were walking down the sidewalk to get to the car. And of course, when we got to the car, we had to make a right angle turn, take about 3 or 4 quick steps, and get in the car. That's what we did. Between the 3rd and 4th step, wham! Now, I have this habit when it rains, or at least I did, of running with my head down. I ran right into a parking meter. I'm laying on the ground, getting wetter. My glasses are laying there. My nose is bleeding. My son says, "Dad, are you okay?" I said, "Well, I think so." So he got my glasses, helped me up, got me into the car, took me home. It hurt so bad, I went in and laid down on the bed. Not more than about 5 minutes later, Angela walks in the house. She'd been shopping someplace. And she says to Garrick, "Where's your dad?" Garrick said, "Mom, he's back in the bedroom. He's laying on the bed. He ran into a parking meter." Angela said, "Oh my, how bad is the car?" Garrick said, "Mom, he ran into a parking meter. And Angela said, yeah, I know you just told me that, but I want to know what type of damage the car has. Garrick said, Mom, read my lips. H-E. He ran into a parking meter. You mean he wasn't in a car? Garrick said, no, Mom, he was not in a car. About 10 seconds later, she comes into the bedroom. She looks at me and she just kind of laughs. I said, honey, this is not a laughing matter. And she said, well, how in the world could you do that? I thought, I'll get even with her. I said, honey, you married a very talented man. She just shook her head and walked back out. I gotta tell you, since that parking meter got my attention, I have not run into another one since. In fact, I kid people sometimes when they go through New Brighton and something comes up about New Brighton this and New Brighton that. I said, have you noticed the last 3 or 4 years, New Brighton doesn't have any more parking meters? Yeah, Ed, we've noticed that. I said, I was responsible for that. Now, that's a little white lie, but it sounded good. Because when I ran into one, it got my attention, and I said, I told them to take them all down, and they did. That's not really what happened, but it makes a good story. Throughout the Bible, we see many examples. We see people or groups of people who were kind of out of touch with God. They didn't follow the rules. They didn't follow the regulations. They allowed the devil and sin to come into their lives, into their comfort zone that was now the devil's comfort zone. They either didn't obey, and sometimes they just flat out ignored it. And as you heard me read from 2 Samuel, that's what happened to Absalom, the son of King David. He wanted Joab to come to him, not once but twice. Joab never came. I can just see Absalom. He told his servants, you know, he turned me down twice, but he ain't not going to turn me down a third time. Looking out there, he's got a barley field, and it's right next to mine. If you go and set that thing on fire, I guarantee you he'll come. And he did. That was an attention getter. And of course, we see many stories. Another example is in the Old Testament with Moses. He went up on the mountaintop. And he probably said, oh my, would you look at that? Boy, that thing really got my attention. That's an attention getter. That bush is on fire, but it's not being consumed. That was an attention getter. We can also look in the New Testament. We find examples of people ignoring God, falling away, going down the wrong road, or what I call being stumbling blocks instead of stepping stones. And of course, we all know the best example in the New Testament was the man who wrote 13 books in the New Testament, the Apostle Paul. Acts 9:1 says that he was breathing out murderous threats against the Lord's disciples. Murderous threats. I mean, that guy was just downright nasty. God said, I'll get his attention. I'll get his attention. And I'm hoping that the attention that I give him the attention getter that I give him, will change his life 180 degrees. Wham! Comes the light from heaven, lightning, call it whatever you want. And down Paul goes. Down he goes. Just like I went down when I hit that parking meter. Paul was also struck blind. And for 3 days, no sight, no food, and no drink. Now that's really a good attention getter. And of course, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ got people's attention in many, many, many ways. This is just some of a few. He fed 5,000 people with very little food. And the next verse in the Bible starts something that we're all familiar with. In fact, when I go home after a while for lunch, I'll probably have leftovers. When Christ fed 5,000 people, he had food left over. He also healed many people. He raised people from the dead. He walked on the water. He calmed the wind and the waves. He changed the water into wine. He spoke to the woman at the well. He saved the woman who was about to be stoned. He also told the apostles where to fish. And he cast out demons. I love the story of a parishioner who visited his pastor at home one evening, knocked on the door, and the pastor's wife came to the door, and she said, "Well, he's not available right now. He's in the shower." And the man said, "Well, sometimes in the past when I've stopped by, he's always in the shower. Why does he take a lot of showers?" And his wife said, "Occasionally he thinks that the devil and some demons are getting into his system. And demons can't swim. So he goes and gets in a shower and he drowns them." And a man said, "What do you mean demons can't, they can't swim?" He said, "Well, Jesus drove the demons out and put them into the pigs, and the pigs went over and jumped over the cliff into the water and they drowned. Demons can't swim." So every time you take a shower now, the wife can say to the husband, "You have some demons in your system, and that's why you're taking a shower in the middle of the afternoon? Demons can't swim." And of course, the greatest attention getter in the world happened on Easter Sunday. After Good Friday, said, "Oh, but Sunday's coming. Oh, but Sunday's coming." That was the greatest moment in the history of man, when Christ arose from the dead. And every Easter, I always am reminded of the song entitled, "Gone." And even if I think of Christ's resurrection during the rest of the year, I still think of the song, "Gone." Mary came unto the tomb of Jesus. The stone was moved. The Lord had gone away. The angel said, "Fear not. I know who you seek. For he has risen." This I heard her say. Gone. The stone is rolled back. Gone. The tomb is empty. Gone. To sit at the Father's side. Gone. Over death triumphant. Gone. Sin is defeated. Gone. He lives forevermore. And the next verse says, "My friend, if you don't know my Savior, I beg you, don't wait too late to pray. Don't wait until his bride has been completed. Don't wait until you hear him say, it's too late. It's too late. So what about today? Are there any barley fields on fire? You better believe it. There's a lot. And we can start locally and move our way up to the county, to the state, to the USA, and all over the world. Many people are just drifting when they should be anchored. Many people are unbalanced when they should be balanced in all areas of their life. And there's only six: physically, mentally, socially, family, financially, and spiritually. In fact, some of you may remember years and years ago, I came in here one day at 8:30, and I can't remember who the pastor was. And he said, Ed, I need to see you in my office. I said, you know, when I was in high school, in grade school, I got called to the principal's office a lot. But I've never been called into the pastor's office on a Sunday morning. I said, what did I do? And he said, and it was John Phipps. He said, John Phipps is supposed to preach at the 11 o'clock service over in Bethany Hall. And he is deathly sick back at the parsonage. He said, do you have anything up your sleeve that you can use at 11 o'clock? You know what? I said, there is something back in there. And that's what I used that Sunday. Are you balanced or unbalanced? Because I've used that a lot down through the years in training seminars and whatever. Yeah, but there's only six areas: physically, mentally, socially, family, financially, and spiritually. They're negative, these people, instead of being positive. And instead of being heaven-bound, unfortunately, they're hell-bound. Let me give you a couple of examples. Number one, education. You know, we don't hear it much today, but I remember when I was growing up, evolution was taught in some of the schools and colleges. They said, we descended from apes. And I used to say, you know what, sometimes we might act like monkeys, but I never evolved from an ape. Because Genesis 2:7 says, and the Lord formed man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living being. And then in Genesis 2:22, it says, and the rib that the Lord God had taken from the man, he made into a woman and brought her to the man. And of course, nowadays we hear woke and we hear the CRT, the critical race theory. You know, if you don't agree with me or you don't like me, then some will label us as a racist. And sometimes I have to ask the question, and I hope you do too, what has happened to our educational values? Where have they gone? And then the media. I think the media has a lot of barley fields that need to be set on fire. Newspapers, magazines, some TV networks, movies, situation comedies, they're all poking fun at religion. They're poking fun at the churches. They're poking fun at God, the family, Christian-run companies, successful Christian business people, successful Christian sports figures, and unfortunately, most recently, the U.S. Supreme Court. Some of you may know who Ari Fleischer is. Conservative writer, He has a book coming out, I think it's the end of this week, about the press, the media. And the name of his book is called Suppression, Deception, Snobbery, and Bias. And he said, when I heard him in an interview over the weekend, most times the press gets it wrong and they don't care. And their body field should be set on fire. Then we have music. That business, a lot of times, is basically poisoning the minds of our young people. And I don't understand why we can't have more of the Oak Ridge Boys. We can't have more of the Bill Gaithers out there writing and singing songs. I was thrilled about a month ago when Brett stood up here and announced that a certain number had signed up to go to Jamonville. And I thought, wow, that's amazing and fantastic and God bless. And then on Jamonville Sunday, and you might remember, well, I don't know whether it happened at this service, but it happened in the first service. During the last song, several people came forward, kneeling here for concerns or for prayers or for whatever reason. Three or four young people came forward right here, laid their hands on those people and prayed for them. I thought that was just fantastic. And this afternoon, if you've looked in your bulletin, most of those young people and a bunch more are heading down to Rose something down right off of I-79 to a camp down there for a mission trip this week. They're going to be cutting wood, stacking wood, because down there, that's how those people heat their homes in the wintertime. That's how they heat their homes in the wintertime. God bless the Brett and what he's doing here for the young people. Next, we have politics. I could probably stand up here for an hour and talk about politics. I believe that right now, politicians are becoming godless and gutless. Godless and gutless. And as Christians, if we're not careful, persecution may be coming our way. And I don't think it's Democrat versus Republican. It's good versus evil. It's God versus the devil. And the devil and politicians are trying two things. I like to give things letters. The first thing they're giving us is D and D. The devil and politicians want to divide us so that eventually they can destroy us. And they're also using PC. And that doesn't stand for a personal computer. They want power and they want complete control. With the power and control, they might be able to divide us and eventually destroy us. But we as Christians have to remember, the darker the background, the brighter the light. The darker the background when it comes to the devil and sin, the brighter the light from the good news of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I've had an opportunity twice to hear this gentleman speak. He's dynamic. He's a great motivational speaker, great motivational trainer. His name is Daryl Davis. And going through some files the other day, I found this piece of paper that he had made. When a flashlight grows dim or quits working, do you just throw it away? Of course not.
You change the batteries.
When a person messes up or finds himself in a dark place, do you cast them aside? Of course not. You help them change their batteries. Some people might need double A's, attention and affection. Some may need triple A's. That's attention, affection, and acceptance. Some need C batteries. Compassion. And some need D batteries. Direction. And if they still don't seem to shine, this is what your instructions are. If they still don't seem to shine, simply sit with them and quietly share your light. Sit with them and quietly share your light. Paul writes to the Philippians chapter 2, verses 14 to 16, do all things without grumbling or disputing, so that you may be, now this is good, so that you may be blameless and innocent, children of God, without blemish, in the midst of a crooked and twisted generation. Isn't that amazing? They had crooks and people that were twisted back then. We still have them now. In the midst of a crooked and twisted generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world. Paul writes to the Romans, chapter 1, verses 16 to 18, for I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For the righteous shall live by faith. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all unrighteousness and against all ungodliness of men, who by their unrighteousness suppress the truth. You got to remember, faith does not have a reverse. Faith does not have a reverse. It's always moving forward. Paul writes in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 12, this is why I am suffering as I am, yet I am not ashamed, because I know whom I believed and am convinced that he is able to guard what I have entrusted him to him for that day. Hebrews 13:9 says, do not be carried away by all kinds of strange teachings. Folks, it's time for us as Christians to stand up and identify with our Lord, and then testify for our Lord. There's an old song I love to sing. Sometimes when I'm driving down the road, I sing this song. I believe he died for me, so I believe I'll live for him. I may not do it right, but I'm going to try. Wherever he will lead me is better than where I've been. I believe he died for me, so I believe I'll live for him. Now, I have an assignment for you this afternoon. I want you to look up our national anthem, the Star-Spangled Banner. There's four verses. The first one we normally hear sung a lot. But I want you to concentrate on verse number 4. Oh, this be it ever, when free men shall stand between their loved home and the war's desolation. Blessed with victory and peace, may the heaven's rescued land praise the power that hath made and preserved us a nation. Then conquer we must when our cause It is just. And this be our motto: in God is our trust. And the star-spangled banner in triumph shall wave o'er the land of the free and the home of the brave. Is your barley field on fire? Is your barley field on fire? I hope not. I hope not. Could you stand with me for prayer? Father, we come to the end just about of this service. And we pray that if any of us has a barley field, in order to get our attention, in order to get our attention, that you won't have to catch it on fire. Just give us the blessings each and every day, Lord. And it's in your name we pray. Amen. And now as you go from this place, remember, each and every day, you have a choice to make. It's up to you. With the Bible in your hand and the Lord in your heart, you're going to make the right decisions. You're going to make the right choice, because you're already there. God doesn't have to burn your barley field. He doesn't. And I thank him for that. Now go in peace. Go in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Have a great week, everybody. Amen.